How y'all doing this evening? I'm trying to fix myself here, so bear with me. I'm getting dressed while I'm on stage. I had no idea. I never heard your story. I just talked to my wife. Let's give her a big hand. Oh, my God. Was that great? These CDs get spread around the world. I've had contact in Johannesburg, Japan, New Zealand, Australia. And so what I like to do is, in the beginning, I like to say, for those of you who loved Valeria's story in Al-Anon or Alcoholics Anonymous, her email is T as in Tom, O, P as in Paul, O, L, I as in India, N, A, at gmail.com. That's T-O-P-O-L-I-N-A at gmail.com. And my name is Douglas, and I am an alcoholic. And my Gmail is D, M as in Michael, U, I as in India, R, 01 at gmail.com. That's D as in dog, M, U, I, R, 01 at gmail.com. So now that we got all that out of the way, what happened, what it was like, how I got here, where's my big book? Oh, here it is. Have I ever told a speech? I like these mics. You could talk behind here, no one could see you, and you still sound loud. I could hide behind here. So it all started back in 1990. I had a big book. It's comedy night in Denmark. Woo! Step one. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol, and our lives have become unmanageable. Step one. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol, and our lives have become unmanageable. Well, let's take a look at that. I'm a retired airline captain from one of the airlines. I lost two airplanes, so that's hard to do when you're losing large airplanes due to drinking. I'll tell you those stories in a little bit. For those of you who are afraid to fly, I'm sorry to say that. But I did lose two airplanes, and I didn't think that was unmanageable. I thought everybody lost a 90-ton airplane. Right? Haven't you? Come on. What happened was, when I started drinking, I could not stop. Have you all ever had that happen to you here? I don't know. I'm at the Architects Anonymous meeting, no? Oh, alcohol. What would happen to me is, as I showed everybody today, what happens when an alcoholic drinks. And I'm looking for something to erase with, and I can't find it. But what happens is, it's a four-step process for those of you who have not been to my little sermon today. Alcohol comes in. It comes in as alcohol. It turns into formaldehyde. It goes to barley and hops, which is a type of plant that grows that makes... thank you. That makes... Right, let me just get this so I can make it bigger for you. So you have the four boxes here, and this was shown to me in a doctor in South Miami Hospital, where I ended up in a funny farm. And it came in here as alcohol. It turns into formaldehyde, a formaldehyde-type substance. Barley and hops is what all alcohol is made out of, okay? And then it goes into H2O, which is water, and we go to the bathroom. That's the way Valeria, when she has her half a glass of wine, which I told you I still don't understand, when she has her half a glass of wine, it comes in as alcohol, it turns to formaldehyde in her brain, and she gets this, woo, wow, you know, that's poison. Time to stop, you know. We don't have that shutoff valve. It goes to barley and hops, water, she goes to the bathroom. With us, we literally cross a line. It comes in as alcohol. It turns to formaldehyde. And the first thing we say is, if one is good, 20 is fantastic. Right? It turns to a codeine-like substance. Codeine, the most addictive drug in the world, in our mind. It starts producing. And we get the more and the more and the more. And you can't stop. You can't stop. And if you do try to stop, which I think is absolutely crazy, you're restless, irritable, and discontent until you have another drink. She does not experience that. I do. That makes me an alcoholic. Okay? Does everybody have that clear? That is the phenomenon of craving, as the big book says. I have that. 1995, January 1st, alcohol testing came in the airlines. 1987, drug testing came in, and I quit. Just like that. No problem. Just quit. 1995, alcohol, January, drug testing came in, and my wife, then wife, looked at me and she says, "Now you're screwed." And I said, "I got this. I got this." Well, I had to take my first flight January 4th, 1995. I needed to steady my nerves. So I had a drink January 3rd. Just one. That's all I was going to have. If you put me on a lie detector test, I would have passed. One. Came in as alcohol, turned to formaldehyde, codeine. Guess what happened? I woke up February 1st at 3:25 in the afternoon, 1995. I lost a month, a whole month. So I'm laying there in bed. I open up my eyes, and I'm like, it was the most disgusting, despicable thing, feces everywhere. It was terrible. Liquor bottles everywhere. And I roll over, and I see a letter from my then wife, and it was dated 3 days prior to her leaving. Now, I had two kids. I had a two-year-old and a three-year-old. And I was wondering why it was so quiet for the last few days. I didn't even know they were gone. That's how bad I got. And when I opened my eyes and I read this letter, and it said, "You turned out to be just like your father who died from alcoholism." And I started shaking violently. And I was like, "Oh my God." And I started swallowing my tongue. And that's why I looked at the clock, because I wanted to know when I died. So I look at the clock and it's 3:25 in the afternoon. And I was atheist, so I believed in nothing. But of course I had to say, "God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, something melodramatic like that. And this peace came from the top of my head all the way down to my toes. And I raised up from the bed, and I don't mean like I levitated. I sat up from the bed, and it said three times, whatever it was, it cleared out every other thought in my mind, and it says, "It is over, it is over, it is over." That was it. And I got a telephone number, and I made a call through this telephone number that popped in my head, and it was my airline's employee assistance program, the alcohol addiction line. I didn't even know we had one. And I hung up. I'm like, "Oh my God, oh 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 my God, what am I gonna do?" And I called it up again. I hung up, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's really happening." It was like a nightmare. But I didn't want to drink. And I called up a third time, and this captain says, "Will you stop hanging up on me?" Captain Bill, he was just a wonderful man. So I said, "I think I have a drinking problem." Did I just tell you I blacked out for a month? And I'm thinking, "I think I have a drinking problem." Stepping over bottles, pushing. Maybe a little one, right? I didn't tell him I blacked out for a month. So he goes, "You do understand that once we start this process, you may never fly an airplane again." Well, you got to understand, that's all I ever known who I was since I was 18 years old. That was it. Doug the pilot. Doug the pilot. It was this badge of honor, this ego thing. It was who I was. Does anybody ever identify with their job? I mean, oh, it's a terrible way of life. I am not like that anymore. I really am not. So when he said that, in the airline industry, when you say you have a problem, they cut you out like the CIA. Whoa, you no longer exist. I mean, these big guys come into my office in Florida, and they pick me up, and whoo, I'm off to Happy Hills, Miami, right? In a padded cell. So anyway, I go to this 28-day program, and they loved me so much, they kept me in for 72 days. Man, I tell you what, I was bad. Bad to the bone. And so what I learned when I left there was to go to meetings and find a sponsor. $250,000 later, go to meetings. You could have told me that for dinner tonight, right? But the airlines were paying for it, so that's cool. We wonder why we're going out of business in the United States. So I did. And I started my process, and I started my healing. And I went back to this little island that I'm living on now, back then. And I sat in meetings. I didn't have a job. right? The Federal Aviation Administration took away all my license until they found me suit to fly again, which could be quite some time. And so I went to meetings, and I went to meetings, and I went to meetings. And I was getting sicker, and I was getting sicker, and I was getting sicker. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, everyone says don't drink, go to meetings. Work a selfish program. I'm like, sign me up, selfish. That's me, you know. My wife then would say, why don't you stay home with the kids? I'm like, this is a selfish program. I'm going to my fifth meeting today. Heck, she saw more of me when I was drunk on the couch. So I kept going to meetings, going to meetings, going to meetings. 90 days came, 90 days sober, 90. 72, I was in Happy Hills Farm with a padded room. And I said to myself, is this it? Is this it? That was it. I worked step one. That was it. That's all I got was step one. So this is what I thought. I said, I'm going to get my 90-day chip, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to celebrate. Only an alcoholic could think about that, because I said to myself, maybe it really wasn't all that bad. Did I tell you I lost the month of January 1995? How many people you know did that, honey? Step one. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol. So, do we agree that I had that part? My life was unmanageable. I meet this guy. I pick up my 90-day chip, and I'm looking at this door. And I'm just going to go for that door. And I'm going, and I'm going. And I pick up this 90-day chip, right? And I'm running towards the door, and this guy steps in front. Here comes one of these happy AA guys. Yes, Greg. He says, you know, you're acting a little more weird than usual. That's bad. He says, but I want you to understand this. He says, if you are going out, he says, don't tell people that AA failed you. You've never worked a program of recovery. I was going to go for his jugular vein. I was like, what are you talking about? I've been going to 3 meetings a day, and you've been dragging me to these institutions. And so he goes like, yeah, one of those things. And he says, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, I know you don't have a job. He says, I will be at my house on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 o'clock. He says, I want you, and he slaps me in the chest with this thing. I want you to bring this. Bring a highlighter and a pen. He says, if you're late 1 minute, don't show up. He says, if you lie to me once, you're fired. Are we clear? And I'm like, you son of a... blank, blank, blank. Okay? So you follow me so far? So I said, yeah. I get in my car and I'm driving to 5-Point Liquors. Who does that guy think he is? Does he understand who I think I am? Apparently he doesn't know me. So I'm at the light and I see 5-Point Liquors. And something clicked, and it says, give this guy a shot. Give him a shot. This is a Saturday. That's a long waiting period till Tuesday. Give him a shot. So I did. And it transformed my life. Transformed my life, okay? Let's look at step one today. Powerless over alcohol, my life's unmanageable. Absolutely not. I am powerless over what alcohol does to my body once it enters into my system. So there's shields that we could do for it to enter our system. I showed everybody today. It's called the circle and the triangle. I was talking to a man today, one of the many wonderful people who relapsed. I think it was a female. And I went over, it says recovery, unity, and service. And the first thing I did with her is I went over this part and I found out that she is missing that. This is a perfectly sided triangle. You miss one side, it falls down. The recovery is the 12 steps. The unity are the meetings. The service is the AA service work that you people are doing here today. Okay? So I was told in the beginning, I will be safe and protected by God if I do this on a weekly basis. That's what I was shown. All right? So then we came up to step two. Now, remember this. I'm an atheist at this point. Try to work this program and be an atheist. You're always like, you're talking about God, you know. Whatever. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than themselves could restore us to sanity. They're not talking about sanity like you're crazy, although, you know, some may debate that. But they're talking about going to a 72-day program, which, by the way, was 28, and then thinking, you know, maybe it wasn't all that bad anyway. So I'll go just get like a little gallon. Did you ever think about buying a gallon? Maybe having a little glass of wine? We buy gallons, liters, whatever you want to call them. That's the insanity that they're talking about, okay? So my sponsor says to me, we're going through the big book, and he talks about, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Do you believe that? I said, absolutely not. Okay, that wasn't the answer we were talking about. Let's try this again. And I said, no, I do not believe. I do not believe. He says, okay, let's do this. Do you believe that the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous has now kept you sober for 94 days? And I said, wow, have I been sober that long? I know I'm not an alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I can believe that. I can believe that. And then he started reading the chapter to me, We the Agnostics, and we started outlining it and highlighting it. And you know what I found out? I found out that I was just like you. Well, I mean, maybe a little more twisted when it came to the religious stuff, but really, I was just a garden variety drunk. So we pressed forward. Then all of a sudden, he comes over my house, and let me tell you what step two means to me today. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Step two is my life today. Step two is my life today. God is everything in my life. As long as God is everything in my life, I believe we are one. I believe that I've designed this. I told you today, the people that were here, that 7 years ago, I designed what I wanted in my life, and I have it now. It's here. I'm a public speaker to the finance community in America. I'm a traveling something with AA, I don't know. A traveling speaker around the world, and I absolutely designed this because I believe that God is all-powerful. He's within inside me because I'm a chip off the old block, and I could design anything, and I have. I've designed it here, and I'm here to spread the message to you. So that's what step two means to me today. Step three is made a decision to turn your will and your life over to care of God. So my sponsor comes back over my house, and he gets on his knees. Oh, my God, I thought I was going to have a heart attack from embarrassment. I'm like, what are you doing? Get up, right? Now, when I would pee myself in a bar, I wasn't embarrassed. Somebody gets to his knees, it's all over. You're embarrassing me. Weren't you the guy who used to fall off the bar stool all the time? Yeah, but that's not embarrassing. That's just me, right? Made a decision to turn your will and your life over to care of God. He says the third step. I say, no, time out. No. So he says the third step prayer. He says, will you make a decision right now to turn your will and your life over to God? Nope. Still don't feel it. Right? Ain't happening here, pal. Take this God and go over there. He says, you're a stubborn one, aren't you? He says, then you're hosed. I'm like, whoa, hosed. Isn't there like a door number three over here? I could pick maybe over here. He says, no, find God, die. I think that's the way it works. I'm like, he says, but the 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, you're only on step number three. He says, so let's do this. Will you make a decision right now to finish the rest of the steps with me? And I was like, oh, I just bought me some time. Of course I'll do it. Whatever. So then he says, all right, this is what I want you to do. And he gave me this fourth step forms that I gave to you today in a different manner. He says, I need you to write a four step. He got back into the big book. He showed me exactly how to write out my resentments, write out my fears, write out my sexual inventory, and write out my harms done others. Okay? I did 22 pages of inventory, but I left out the thing. The thing that when you walk into my house on Saturday and I'm going to do the steps with you, the first thing I say is, what were you not going to tell me when you came here? People are like, what? What do you mean, what? Come on, give me a little, right? And they tell me. So anyway, I'm sitting in this beautiful home on Amelia Island with my sponsor, and I'm sitting there, and I'm tapping my foot. He goes, okay, let's get ready. You okay? You look a little nervous because I'm lying to my sponsor. And he asked me 9 times. 9 times. Are you sure you're telling me everything? Are you sure you're leaving nothing out? Are you sure we're looking at every dark cranny of the past? Are you sure? Oh, my God. So as I said today, finally by the 9th time, I said, yes, I swear to God, it was Knoxville, Tennessee. It was 1989. It was this girl. Doesn't always start. It's this girl. And I was done, and I looked at him like with horror. I was waiting for him to say, get out of my house. Right? And he looked at me, he kind of smiled a little bit. He goes, that ain't nothing. He says, let me tell you my deepest, darkest secret. And when he's done, I was like, oh my God, you are sick. Now, that is why we tell our fifth step to each other, because we'll understand. See? We don't tell it to a priest who would throw my butt outside a confessional and say, never come back. So, I did the fifth step. And in the fifth step, it states that we go home for an hour. I went home for, well, I have an attention span of like a gnat. So, it seemed like 3 hours. It might have been 2 minutes. I don't know. But anyway, I went home and I sat in a room quiet and I looked at the first 5 proposals of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the steps, as it says to do, and I went through them on page 89. And when I looked at those steps, I said, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. And I felt a part of you. Finally, I felt a part. Now, I did not believe in God, but I felt a part of you, which was huge for me. And I said the thing. This weight was lifted off. Folks, if you haven't experienced this, you are missing the program. Don't do the 1-2-3 dance, 1-2-3 drink, because we'll do steps 1-2-3, and then I'm not ready for the. How do you know what you're ready for? You're here. You know what I'm saying? You're here. What do you know you're ready for? You know about Alcoholics Anonymous? We're all ready. When we show up, you have to be ready. That's why we went from a 75% sobriety rate in the 1930s and 40s to 8% and 13%. Do you think they were joking when they said, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path? Heck, rarely have I seen a person make it nowadays, right? Because we got away from the big book. We got away from the steps. Then, he gives me a sheet to do my grosser handicaps, the 6th step. We want to look at my grosser handicaps, right? 6 and 7. And he says, but I'll do you one better, palsy. He says, I want your wife to fill out one. I'm like, what? You know, so she's taking my inventory, filling out the 6 steps of character defects. I'm filling it out too. Now, I found out that I was able to beat myself up a lot. I had 62 character defects. That's what I wrote down, 62 character defects. Is that crazy? But I didn't have anything to strive for. Now, I believe life is all visualization. I could visualize myself into love and success. I visualize myself into Valeria. I visualize myself on the stage. I visualize everything that I have done in the last 13 years, okay? Really, this last 7 is when I found out this huge spirituality that I've been searching for, okay? So 6 and 7, we looked at these grosser handicaps. We looked at these things, the selfishness, the dishonesty, the stuff I didn't like, and I'm working on them. And I'm still working on them today, and I'll explain how I do that, okay? We go on to steps 8 and 9. Well, here we go. Fasten your seatbelt because this is where the rubber meets the road. Now, I know you're not going to believe this, but I was a thief. I was a liar, and I used to break into houses. Didn't everybody do that? But I used to break into the houses of my mother's neighborhood. So, I have to do something about this, right? So my sponsor says, okay, let's write all this stuff down. We write all this stuff down, 1,000 here, 2,000 there, blah, 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 blah. I write down all the names, and I'm like, okay, cool, I'm ready. I got a bunch of little Catholic cards because I lived in like a Catholic neighborhood. I got cards, I'll stuff it with money, and I'll just put it in their mailbox, ring the doorbell, and run. May direct amends wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others, not you. I don't care if it injures you. You're going to knock on the door. You're going to say, hi, Mrs. S. You're going to give them the card, and you're going to say, I used to break into your house and steal money. And he wasn't laughing. I'm like, whoa, 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 this is funny, right? Right? And I looked at him. I said, you know, I'm on the fence on this one. I said, I don't think I'm going to do this. This is not right. He went back to the big book and he said, I want you to read this paragraph. It says, before taking drastic actions, we clear it with people who may be harmed. Well, that was my family. Plus, if I was doing a little jail time, there was no more alimony and child support because I just got a divorce from wifey number one. Okay? So I said, all right, well, I did. And then all of a sudden I read, if it was to injure others, and I thought, I got an out. I got an out. So I put on a suit and tie, and that was my gig on the night step. I don't know, I wear a suit and tie to go make amends. Like, oh, look how good you look. You did what? You know what I mean? And so I put on a suit and tie, and I went to my mother's house in New Jersey, and my sister's, I called a meeting, and I said, listen, I got to do something here, and I used to steal money, and my mother's like, whoa, what? Yeah. And I said, well, I'm not even done yet, and I used to steal money from the neighbors. Oh, my God. You know, my sisters are like, Mom, will you hold off for a second? And I'm sitting there like, I hate AA. I hate my sponsor. And so I said, I have all this money. And she goes, you stole that much? So I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to go around to the whole neighborhood, and I'm going to give this money out. I'm going to tell them what I did, and they all just were like this. My younger sister goes, why? I'm like, well, you know, supposedly it's going to keep me sober forever. Maybe. I don't know about that. Maybe. But I don't want to hurt your name. I'm thinking about you. That's the type of guy I am. I'm thinking about, you don't want me to do this? We'll stop it right now. I'm on the next flight. I'm out of here. And they're all like, oh, no, that's good. Sober? Sure, go ahead. I'm like. So all of a sudden, hi, Mrs. S. Little Dougie. They call me Little Dougie. Why do they call me Little Dougie? Anyway. No short jokes. Little Dougie, how you doing? Oh, how's being an airline pilot? Oh, you know, you're doing so good in life. And I'm like, oh, just take this knife right here. Put it right in the mouth. Hi, Mrs. S. Listen, what? I can't hear you. I used to steal money from you. And I, what? Yeah, I used to break into your window, and I used to steal money from you. And you get this blank stare. Oh my God, what is up with the heart? Like they're having a heart attack. Oh my God. And I said, well, here's the money I gave you, and from the bottom of my heart, I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I have to do this, and oh, this is killing me, can I go home, you know, and she'd open up the, you stole this much money! I'm like, it's only an estimate, a couple dollars here or there. Oh, this sucks so bad. So anyway, I finished up with that one, and then I went to the next door. Hi, Mrs. I. It's me, Little Doggy. Yet her husband was alive, okay? And I sit him down, and I'm like, ugh. So anyway, by the fifth one, I was just walking in. Here's a card. I stole money from you. Anything about it? Bring it on, right? I made my amends. It was big. It was big, big, big. And then I made my amends to this woman that I absolutely destroyed. Absolutely destroyed her. And she allowed me to come see her. And I said, how have I harmed you that I don't know? And she went into a 2-hour dissertation, and I said, oh my God, how could I write this wrong? And she goes, are you serious? I said, yeah. She grabbed my hand, and she took me to her younger sister's house. It's her younger sister's restaurant. Her younger sister's come flying out with a knife. I'm going to kill you. You know what I mean? I'm like, whoa. And so I made my amends to her, and I said, what can I do to right this wrong? And she says, are you serious? And I'm like, oh, my God, maybe I shouldn't ask this question anymore. And I'm like, yes. She goes, come, and she brought me to her mother's house. So now I'm sitting at the mother's house with the new husband, who's like a gorilla, 10 foot three he looked like. He goes, is this the little punk you've been telling me about? So I make my amends to her. Is there anything I could do to right this wrong? Are you serious? I felt like saying, no, I'm not. Let's forget about that one. So anyway, I go to her ex-husband's house. They got a divorce. So I go to the ex-husband's house. He comes flying out, and I swear to God, I set up because I was going to have to protect myself because he was coming at me. And his daughter jumped in the way, and he didn't want to hear anything. And I was okay with that. And so I dropped this girl back off at her house, and she says, you have no idea how much you have just changed my life. I've been going through 14 years of therapy. So we don't know how much damage we have done. She says, never call me or write me again. So I go back to Virginia. I look at my sponsor with a loving face, and I said, if you ever think I'm going anywhere in the United States to make amends, you are crazy. He goes, so where are you going next week? I'm like, Minnesota. So anyway, I fly up to Minnesota. But this is what I did. The thing that happened in Tennessee to a woman was the worst thing that I've ever done in my life. And I had to make that up. I had to make that right. And so there was a place where for battered women where I was living. And I went there, and I volunteered my time. And I did it for 6 months. And there were some things I was doing, big projects, and I was always over the TV. And I walk into this volunteer work one day, and the lady, the head of the household, said to me, why are you here? You were that guy on the TV. And I said, yeah. I said, let me tell you what happened. And I told her. And she looked at me, and she goes, you know, you have done fantastic work here. For the last 6 months, you've helped literally 20 girls. She said, you're forgiven. Oh, my God. Something I never forgave myself for, I did it. Do you see what I mean? We could do anything we want. So now there's one more amends. One. Well, I had a few bench warrants out for my arrest in New Jersey, the state. 10 to be exact. So that means they were looking for me for many years. And I said to myself, I have to clean this up or I will drink again because I can no longer look over my shoulder. And so I called up my airline. I said, I'm going to go do jail time. That went over really big. And then I called up my ex-wife and I said, listen, alimony and child support's going to stop for a little while. But my mother and sister said they were going to cover me. Isn't that beautiful? And my mother took me to the jail and I walked in and I said, I was scared. I mean, I was scared. I was scared, but I had you behind me. And I knew if I did this, it would change my life. I don't know why, but I did. It was the last one. And when I went to do it, I walk up and there's this big sergeant behind this desk. Well, yeah, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, my name is Doug so-and-so. And, you know, he goes, who are you? And I'm like, you don't know who I am? I'm looking for, like, wanted pictures on the wall, like from the Wild West. And he goes, Mr. Muir, how are you? And I'm like, scared. Click, click, puts handcuffs on me and brings me in the back. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be bad. So this district attorney comes in for the town, and he says to me, do you have any idea how much paperwork you have just cost me? And I'm like, are you kidding? I'm in handcuffs. Do you think I care? He says, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? He says, look at what you've done with your life. Why are you doing this? And I told him. I said, I'm an alcoholic. I may not recover from alcoholism until I clean up my past. I have destroyed this state, and I'm willing to make amends. So let's just get this over with. And he says, this is the damnedest thing I have ever experienced in my life. I don't know what to do with you. I'm like, is that good? So he said to me, I'll tell you what, I'll be right back. And he came back, and he said, sign these papers. And, of course, in the big book, it says we make the best deal we can. Right? So I'm reading these papers, and I'm like, I owe you how much money? I said, did I tell you I was an alcoholic, and I drank it all away, and I'm going through a divorce, and I'm getting my ass totally kicked? And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. And I said, how about if I pay $250 a month for the first 6 months, $500 for the next 6 months, $1,000 a month thereafter, blah, blah, blah. He looked at me, he goes, are you negotiating with me? You're in handcuffs. I said, listen, I'm being realistic here. He says, yeah, we'll do it. He said, I made my last payment June 2nd, 2002. It took me almost 7 years to pay that person off. But you know what? When I left that jailhouse, back then I didn't have a cell phone, so I had to go back into the jailhouse and say, can I borrow your phone? The guy goes, now you're pushing a little too far. I'm like, I got to get a ride. So I called my mother. She goes, so how's jail, honey? I'm like, I'm out. I broke out. Like I'm Muggsy. I broke out. And she says, what? I said, I broke out. I said, I'm out. They let me go. I got to make payments, blah, blah, blah. I said, do me a favor, just drive me to the airport. So she drove me to the airport. Now, the airlines in the States, if you're a Union airline, you get to ride in the cockpit, a front seat, an extra seat. It's called a jump seat. So I get on this other airline that was not mine, and I hopped a ride down to Washington. Well, as a common courtesy, we always let you sit in first class. So the guy goes, yeah, go sit in first class. So I sit in first class, and I'm sitting there. My head is spinning. I'm atheist at this point, and guess what happens? All of a sudden, I just realized I had no fear. I was equal with the universe, and I was finished. And I needed and wanted God at that time more than ever. And this huge, bright, big light, whoo, overtook my body, and as Valeria, I'm sitting in first class next to this little old lady, most embarrassing moment of my life, and I'm like, and she's like, are you okay? Are you afraid of flying? I'm an airline pilot. Are you afraid of flying? No. I just want God. I want God. I'm screaming, I want God. So the flight attendant comes up, she goes, hey, what's the matter, Captain? I want God. She's like this in the cockpit. I think we got a loony bin back here, right? I needed and wanted God at that time. And guess what? The drink obsession went away and has not returned. Ever. So I went out on this. I just went out on this God thing. I read every religion. I read every book. Even when those, not Hare Krishnas. Who are the people that knock on your door? Jehovah Witnesses. Do you all have that here? Jehovah? Yeah. Jehovah Witnesses, they knock on the door. I'd invite them in. Bring that Bible. Come on. Get in here, you little. Come here. Right? So they sit down like, are you going to hurt me? I'm going to put on some more coffee. You really need that? Yeah. And we get out this Bible, and 2 hours later, they'd be like, could we leave? Jehovah Witness. I'm like, I'll put on another pot of coffee. Yeah. I just wanted to talk about God. I wanted God. I wanted this God. And I found my God. I found my God through a sponsee. And he introduced me to this Center for Positive Living, this all-inclusive, all religions are right, all everything. It's beautiful. Oh, my God, I fell in love with my God. Fell in love with my God. And that's when I transformed. I transformed from AA to God. But I never lost sight of AA. The meetings, the sponsoring others, ever. The doing the daily inventory, ever. 13 years later, I have not lost that. But it's all about God for me. Now, prayer and meditation. It's all about that for me today. Okay? So then I was taught how to do daily inventory, steps 10, 11, and 12. So before I end, I'll tell you what my day consists of. Before I go to bed, I do an inventory. I gave you all those sheets today. I really want you to start that. When? Now. Today is the day, now is the time, okay? I look at this. If I have resentments or anything, what I will do is I will go make amends. I try not to do that to my wife. You know, we have never had an argument in 7 years, ever, except for business. Her and I have a company, and it's very large, and sometimes it's a little crazy. That's the only arguments we've ever had. So I make a living amends to her constantly. I try to love her, respect her, adore her, All right? I can't do enough for her. I cook. I clean. I got a broken Italian. I cook. I clean. As they say, oh, forget about it. I'm telling mama. So I go to bed and I'm peaceful. We wake up in the morning, we take a shower, we have this beautiful home in Florida, and we sit at our meditation chairs, and she reads these 10 non-denominational prayers, of which we haven't done that in a while because we started reading this huge book. It's a beautiful book. She reads her Al-Anon. I read my 24-hour book, and then we set the alarm, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it is, whatever we have time for, and we go into contemplation. We go into meditation. I look at the five aspects of life: my health, my finances, my job, my relationships, and God. Do you have anything else besides that? So what I do is I look at these, I visualize these things. I bring all this stuff into my life. I bless it. I bless all the money that we have been blessed with because I take it and I give it away. I take it and I give it away. I take it and I give it away. I have this little thing going on with the universe. You know, a friend calls up, eh, I'm short some money, and I'll just like stroke him a fat check, and I'm like trying to take that universe, and all of a sudden, woof, you know, a couple hundred thousand come in my life. I'm like, okay, I'll stroke another fat, and then more money comes back. I'm telling you, it's truly amazing. I was like, why didn't anyone tell me this when I was drinking? This truth thing is great. Right? It's the most beautiful thing that God has ever created is us. We have a God inside of all of us. We are a chip off the old block. We are a chip of God. We are all gods inside ourselves. If you believe that, if you believe you're worthy of yourself, because I hate when Alcoholics Anonymous people keep beating themselves up. I'm trudging the road to happy destiny. Whatever. You know, and I don't trudge. I skip. And don't let people belittle you, you newcomers. Don't let them belittle you. You're on this pink cloud, we call it in the United States. Okay? It's not a pink cloud. It's a God consciousness. And I have it every day. Yes. So after prayer and meditation, my wife and I then come up together. And we talk about it, or we look at the 24 hours ahead, just like it says in the big book, page 86, look at the 24 hours ahead. We look at our schedules on our phones, we got all these high-tech gadgets, whatever. She's teaching me how all that, she's dragging me into the 21st century, kicking and screaming. And we look at this, and we look at this. So now I look at the whole life. I look at my wife and our relationship that I just, oh, I adore you, and I think you know that. She makes me tear up. After 7 years, she still does. And you can have this too. You could have this too. I designed her. Isn't that nice? Yeah, I just said Valeria, black hair, beautiful, Italian. A little goofy, kind of clumsy. Ouch. Okay? But I wrote down the top 10 things I wanted in a woman, in my mate, and I put it up on my mirror, and I stuck by that because I believed I was worth it. And Valeria came into my life. Okay? So I designed all this. I look at her. I look at my children. Oh, my children are so healthy. My children are so healthy. It's scary. They're nothing like me, and they're just wonderful, wonderful kids. We have a great relationship. My company is a size that I never, ever, ever would have imagined. We have the fourth largest company in the United States of what we do in our category. And I treat every person as if a person that I could touch their heart and that I could be with them and that I could talk to them and I can give them a great pace to work. And you know what? 98% of them would take a bullet for me. The other two are stealing, but that's just the way it is. Right? And I, them. And I learned it all from here. I learned it all from AA. This is where I learned it. I just kind of took it and took it to another level. Do you see what I mean? I still sponsor people one-on-one, Saturdays at our house. I'll sit there. You know, people will knock on the door, come on in. I sponsor women nowadays. And when I say sponsor, I bring them through the steps, I give them the solution, and then I pass them on to their life sponsor. And it's made me more compassionate, you know, than to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, matey, come on. You know, stop your crying. Well, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. It made me more compassionate. This is the design for living that we have here today. You all We all are so fortunate to have this. When my mother just passed away last month, I was celebrating her life. My sisters were just, I felt so bad. And then I went to a meeting in a strange town, and I helped somebody. I sat there and talked with him. We have this everywhere. I could come here and call any of you up, anywhere. Rome, anywhere. I mean, we're 1 billion strong. Think about this. The thing we have to stop, is this. It's killing me. 8-13% sobriety rate. Work the steps. Help others work the steps. Find God. Go to meetings. In that order. Meetings will not keep you sober, folks. The prayer, the meditation, the working the steps, the helping others, the setting up. You know, I'm lost for words. I'm a public speaker. I never get lost for words. Until I come up with AA, it's the most beautiful thing that I've ever been a part of. This has been an unbelievable 4 days, 3 days. I've been traveling for 3 weeks. I forgot how many days we've been. But anyway, it's beautiful. I've walked your whole town. I've met with you. You have told me your deepest, darkest secrets. It's just absolutely phenomenal. You all here that put this Pele in everybody, I mean, you are just a huge source, and I want to thank you. It's my honor. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you.